Okay, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim Adaf Yomi. We are now in Ketubot Daf Chaf Bet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, which is Mishnah Hey, and two more examples of the ruling of a Peshas, or the principle of a Peshas or a Pesha Yitir. Parallel rulings: Ha'isha Shamra Eshet Ish Hayiti Ugrusha Ani. A woman comes and testifies, and nobody else knew about this, that she was a married woman, and then says, but subsequently have been divorced. Nemana, she's believed, and she can marry somebody else. Shapesha, Sarwa Peshi Tir, same ruling. Imyesh Edim Shaita Isha Ish, but if there is corroborating testimony that substantiates that she was a married woman, Yomerit Grushani, and she nonetheless claims that she's divorced, and of course she has no get to prove it, Einana Amenet, she's not believed. Amrani Shbeiti Utoharani, let's say the second case. She comes and claims that she was taken captive, and of course the norm of captivity, the people who do take women captives, is that they take advantage to them. Sorry, to take advantage of them, we assume rape. Then she says to Harani, nonetheless, I was not touched, and we do not know from any other source that she was taken captive. Ne'emenet. Shapesh asar opesh yitir. Miesh edim shenishbeit v'yomer to Harani einan emenet. But of course, if there is testimony that she was taken captive, then her own claim is not accepted. V'im mishinisseit ba'u edim harezu lo tetzei. But if she already married, and then the witnesses came, then she does not have to divorce. In other words, if she made the claim, I was taken captive, and nonetheless I was not touched, or I was a married woman and I got divorced, and then she marries somebody else based on that claim, or in the second case, perhaps she marries a kohen, or she was a married woman and she's married to a kohen, she returns to her husband. In any case, Harizu Lotetse, if the witnesses come after she already married based on that statement. Now, the Gemara immediately addresses the issue of Pesha Asar as a general rule. Amaravi Asi, Minayima Pesha Asar o Peshi Tirina Torah. Where do we know this principle from in the Torah? Let's take a look at Pasuk number 1. At Pasuk number 1, it's important to give the context, is the beginning of the Parsha of Motzi Shemra, when a man marries a girl, and he claims, after he marries her, that she was not a betulah, and he claims that she had relations while betrothed to him. That's something that's the subject of the first half of the first parak. And all of those rulings continue. However, it begins with him coming and claiming against her father. And the father then makes the statement, et biti natati la'ish hazeh la'isha v'yisna'a v'yatzi aleha d'gad alot varim le'mor, and then he's making this claim, and here I'm proving that she is indeed innocent. However, the beginning of that phrase is the key piece. The father comes and makes the claim, I gave my daughter to this man as a wife. So the parsing of the pasuk for purposes of the limud is le'ish asara. When he says, I gave her to a man, that already prohibits her because that indicates that she's a betrothed woman. And it's based on the father's word that we are regarding her as a betrothed woman. Hazeh, once he says Hazeh, that permits her. In other words, that already defines which man it is, and it permits her to that man. So in other words, the father's word of La'ish prohibits her, Pesha Asar, and then the same father who turns around and says Hazeh, permits her to that man. But now the immediate response is, Lama Likra, what do I need a pasuk for? Svarahi. This is just a svara, this is a reasonable ruling. If somebody's interested in looking more deeply into the notion of Svara and the role that it plays in Halakha, take a look at Eliezer Berkowitz's small masterpiece, Not in Heaven. In any case, for our purposes, we say we don't need a pasuk. Hu asaravu sharila. After all, the only source that we have for knowing that this girl is asura is based on her father. So, of course, he can be mad to her, to this man, and say, this is the man she married. Ella Kitzar Cross. So now we're going to move away from the issue of Pesha Asar just for a moment and try to clarify what that pasuk is actually teaching, because we don't need it for Pesha Asar. Ella Kitzar Kra Lechen Rav Huna Amarav, for the ruling of Rav, the Amar Huna Amarav. Inayim La'av Shneeman La'sor Pitomin Torah. How do we know that a father has the ability Mina Torah to prohibit his daughter? What that means, and I didn't write this clearly in the notes, but what that means is that when the father makes a claim about his daughter, that will effectively prohibit her because he avers that she is betrothed, that he is believed. And what's the source for that? The minute that he says, "I gave my daughter over to this, over to a man," that immediately and is believed. That already substantiates that the father's word defines her as being a betrothed girl, which also should everybody else. So then the question is, "Hazeh lamali?" If that's the case, then what do I need the word "hazeh" for? By the Chavtani Rabbi Yona, Detani Rabbi Yona, Epitir Atatad Ish Hazeh, Hazeh V'lo Le'Yavam. In other words, that the Parsha of Motzi Shemra applies only to the man who directly betrothed her, and not to Yavam. So let's say that a man were to betroth the girl, and then he died, and so then she falls to the Yavam, and the Yavam marries her, and then he turns around and says, "I didn't find Betulim." The Parsha of Motzi Shemra does not apply, because it is only the man to whom the father gave her in betrothal, and not to his brother. That's what Hazeh is for. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Now we go back to Peshasai. Shashamra Eshet Ish Ani V'chazra V'yamar Pnui Ani. This is a different form. It's not really Peshasar. Because she says, "I am a married woman." And then she turns around and says, "I'm not a married woman. I was never married. I meant it." She's believed. Now that's a little bit strange. Here she's not giving a claim which is substantiated or certainly not contradicted by the second claim, but it's just clarified by the second claim, where she's contradicting herself. And so now we ask, "V'hashavya anunafsha chaticha disura," by declaring that she's an eshet ish, she's already declared herself to be what we call a chaticha disura, an object of isur, in other words, that no man could marry her. And now she doesn't have the wherewithal to then suddenly say, "Oh, that's not the case." So Amar Rav Huna, kigon shenat na'amatma lidvareha. Rav Huna says this is only the case if she gives a reasonable explanation for why she said the first time that she was an Eshet Ish. And we'll see an example of that in a moment, and we could certainly imagine this. Tanya Namihachi, Amra Eshet Ish Ani. If a woman says, "I was an Eshet Ish," Chazor Amar Pri Ani, and then she turns around and says, "No, I'm not," in not a minute, she's not believed, and she cannot marry. Na Matal Dizvarei, but if she gives a reasonable explanation, in a minute. And now we have an example. Ma'aseh nami b'isha achat gedolah. There was an important woman. Shaita gedolah b'noi. She was very beautiful. Kavtzu aleha b'nei adam l'katsha. Everyone wanted to marry her. Gamra leha mekudeshet ani. And she said to them, "I'm mekudeshet." Like certain women in the workplace who are single and are very, very popular, they wear a wedding ring just to keep people away. Yamim amda v'kidsha atatzma. And then a while later, she actually did accept kiddushin from somebody. Amru l'chachamim, ma ra'id l'asot ken. So they asked her, "You declared you're married. How can you accept kiddushin from somebody?" Amar leh mitchila shebaw alai anashim she'enam huganim. In the beginning, people came to me who were not fit suitors. Amar to mekudeshet ani. I told them I was married. Didn't keep them away. Shav shebaw alai anashim huganim. Now I have somebody who's fit. Amar to mekudeshet ani. I accepted kiddushin. And Chachamim accepted her words because she gave an amatla, a reasonable explanation for why she had originally said eshedish. V'zu halacha halav av acha sarah b'ira lefei chachamim b'usha. And they brought this to the Chachamim in Usha. This is, of course, the Tana Edik period. So this was the ruling. If she gives a good explanation for why she said the original statement, that explains why she now is clarifying things, and we believe her, then Mehmenet. So now, Shmuel asked Rav, will this apply to other cases? Amra Tmeya Ani. Let's say a woman says, "I'm Tmeya Menida." And then she turns around and says, "No, I'm not. I really am not an either mahu." Amar le'af bezu. Rav said the same thing. If she gives some sort of an explanation as to why she said that, then she would be believed. All right. So as an example, a woman would say that I was in front of other people and I didn't want people to think. For whatever reason she says, a reasonable explanation as to why she originally said that should be believed, and the husband could resume relations with her. Tanim and Brian Zimin, Shmuel went over this with Rav 40 times. But Shmuel was still not comfortable ruling this way himself. All right. As a matter of fact, it's not just ruling this way. According to the way Rashi reads it, it is himself personally. His wife once said to him, "Tzmeyani," and then she said, "No, Tarani," and she gave a good explanation for why she had said it. And nonetheless, he waited until she went to the mikvah to resume relations. Tan Rabbanan, Shnayim Omrim Meit, Shnayim Omrim Lo Meit. So now we have a 2 verses 2 about husband dying. This takes us back to the end of Yevamot, where we recently were. Or you have a 2 verses 2 about whether a woman is divorced. In every case, and by the way, this is of course when the two witnesses, and then the two witnesses, when they all come, before the Beit Din issues a ruling. So if the two and two come and say he did die, he didn't die, or she's divorced, not divorced, and she can't get married, then they say lo tetzei. But if she does marry based on that, then lo tetzei, she does not have to leave the second marriage, which is strange. We'll see why. Menachem Rav Yossi Amar tetzei, he disagrees and says tetzei, and then he puts a caveat. Menachem Rav Yossi Amar tetzei, Amar tetzei, when do I say she has to divorce? That's only if all the Edim came, and then afterwards she married nonetheless. In other words, she brought two witnesses that said he died. Two other witnesses showed up and said we saw him alive afterwards. And then she married, then indeed she has to separate. And this is somewhat parallel to our Mishnah. If she first married, and then after she married, the Edim that contradicted her supportive Edim came, then he agrees, lo tetzei. Now, we got to ask on this whole ruling. Mechti treo treinina. We've got two versus two. Haba alav asham taluikai. So the second husband, we said that if she married, she'll take say. We're talking about the second husband has a din of asham talu. Every time he has beer with her, it's a safek whether or not she's an eshadish. How could we allow such a marriage to continue? We must force a divorce. So sheshiv non shenisit leachad meedaha. It constructs a case. What happened is she married one of the edim who said I saw him die. So according to him, it's Bari. Here's no Ashram Talvi for him. He saw the guy die. He doesn't have to bring a korban. So he goof of Ashram Talvi, kind of. But she herself has an Ashram Talvi, because an Ashram Talvi is a korban that's brought whenever there's a safek, if you violated something, that if you did it bevadai, you'd have to bring a chatat. So for instance, a person does malacha on Shabbat, they have to bring a korban chatat. They simply realized it wasn't Tuesday, it was Shabbat, they have to bring a korban chatat. If they did malacha during the twilight, or they did something which is a question whether or not it's malacha or not, then, and it's on Shabbat, then they have to bring an Ashram Talui. So she herself has an Ashram Talui because she doesn't know if he's dead or alive. She just has these witnesses contradicting each other. The answer is Bomer Bari Li. But she says, I know that he's dead. She did enough investigation. She's confident that he's really dead. She married based on that. Indeed, she does not have to bring the korban. And so it would be only in that case that we would say, lo tetzei. That's ruling number one. Rabbi Yochanan puts a twist to it. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Shtarim Rami Meit, Shtarim No Meit, Arizu Lutenasim, Seit Lo Tetzei. So he accepts Chachamim when it comes to Mitah. Two people say he died, two people say he didn't die, she shouldn't marry, but if she does marry, Lo Tetzei. Shtarim Rami Nikarsha, Shtarim Rami Lo Nikarsha, but if two come and say she divorced and two say she didn't, Arizu Lutenasim, she shouldn't marry. When he say Tetzei, if she does marry, then she has to leave. Now, Maishta Reisha, Maishta Seifa. How come in the case where it's two versus two about death, you said if she marries nonetheless, lo tetzei, but when it comes to divorce, you say she has to leave? Amar Abaye, so Abaye has one way to look at it, and that is Tirgama be'ed echad. He says the entire thing that Rabbi Yochanan talking about, when he says shnayim, he really means ed echad. And he says as follows, ed echad omer meit. Remember, if one witness comes and says the guy died, the Rabbanan said, this is the whole second half of Divamot, the Rabbanan said, we believe him. And no Rabbanim can be true. We believe him like two. And now what's the result? If one guy comes and says he died, we saw this in the Mishnah Yepamot, and then another comes and says he didn't die, it's one versus two. Uchad Ula, Damar Ula, Kol Makom, Shemina Torah, Edecha, and Arei Kan Shleim. Anytime the Torah gave credibility to one witness, that counts as two. V'hai Dekamar Lo Meit, Tav Edecha, and the second guy who comes and contradicts and said he didn't die, is now one versus two. We don't believe him. And therefore, if she did marry, she doesn't have to leave. So, if that's the case, then she shouldn't have to, with the avad, if she married, not separate, she should be able to get married. The answer is, we saw earlier in Yevamot, you should always keep rumors and bad words away from you. In other words, don't do something which is going to cause other people to make you the object of their tongue wagging. So even though technically one witness coming and saying he died, another witness coming and saying he didn't die, technically she should be able to marry. Nonetheless, l'chatchila, she shouldn't marry until you have until you don't have that witness contradicting, or you have two in your favor, whatever, so that nobody will make any claims which she was so quick to jump and get married with her husband not so clear that he was dead. So now, that's the Reisha. So in the case of the Reisha, why in the case of death? Rabbi Yochanan says that lo tetzei, because it's really not two versus two, it's one versus one. Now, Seifa, Eidachad omer nitgarsha, Eidachad omer lo nitgarsha, in the Seifa, it's again one versus one. Now what happens? You got one says she divorced, one says she didn't divorce. Tavayu be Eshedish coincided with it. Both of them are agreeing she was an Eshedish. So you've got two witnesses corroborating the fact that she was a married woman. And the one who says Nitgarsha is testifying that she's now not an Eshedish is one. You know, one versus two doesn't work. So both of them are working on the principle. Of course, in all cases, there's one witness on each side. And they're both working on the principle of Ein Dvarav Shel Echad Makom Shnayim. So in the case of Mita, the first witness who says he died, that witness is considered like two. The second guy who says he didn't die is now one versus two. He's knocked out. In the case of Gerushin in the Seifa, both witnesses are coming in agreeing she's an Eshadish, and the one who says she was divorced is now Echad Makom Shnayim, and therefore he's not believed, and therefore even if she did marry, she has to leave. That's Abaya's explanation for the difference in Rabbi Yochanan's ruling between Mita and Gerushin. Right? Now, Rava Amar Liolam Treo Treinimu. Rava disagrees with Abaya and says, really, Rabbi Yochanan said two, it's two. Every case is two versus two. For Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shmuel Nachman, Rabbi Yosef, and Gerushin with Rav Mita. It turns out Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yossi, remember in the Breita at the top of the Amud, where he said Tetzei, but he only accepted it Legabi Gerushin and not Legabi Mita. My Tama, why did he make that split? Because Mita Einayachol Machashato. When it comes to death, she can't challenge it. If he walks into Beitin, she can't say, oh, you're dead. There's no way for her to challenge that. Which means, therefore, she really did clarify well that he is dead. And therefore, if we have these the witnesses, two versus two, she marries Lo Tetzei. Gerushin Yecholam Machashato. But in the case of Gerushin, if a guy walks into Beit and says, why'd you marry another man? She could say to him, but you divorced me. She could challenge what he's saying. And therefore, we say Tetzei because we really don't believe that she's necessarily divorced because we have two versus two. But wait a second. Since when does a woman have the ability to look at her husband in the Beit Din and say, you divorced me, when it's not the case? V'amar Hamnuna, we have this as a chazaka that we've seen before. Aisha Shamala Bala Girashtani, if a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, Mehmenet. She's believed. Why? Chazaka Inisham Izam Fana Bifne Bala. Now, chazaka, the woman doesn't have the nerviness, if you will, to say directly to her husband, you divorced me, when it's not true. So therefore, we believe her. So how come Rabbi Yochanan makes the split according to Rava? Because according to Rava, the reason that if it's Gerushin, she must be Tetzei, is because if a guy was to turn up a Beit Din and say, I didn't divorce you, she could say, yes, you did. But Rav Hamnuna says she couldn't do that if it wasn't true. The answer is, when do we say that she has a chazaka that she's not going to turn to her husband and say, you divorced me, if it's not true? That's only if there's no Eidim that support that claim. But if she has Eidim that support her, she indeed will be chutzpidik. In other words, she's afraid to say something that has no corroboration if it's not true. When she has witnesses that support the fact that she got divorced, then she's willing to do it. Avasi are marking on to Amri Eidim Achshav Meit Achshav Gerusha. Avasi has a third take. He says, here's what happened. It's a case where the Eidim say that he just now died or he just now divorced. Mita like a Levurit. There's no way to clarify whether or not he really did die. And therefore, because they're coming and testifying, we just saw him in a lake somewhere and he drowned. Alright, a Mayim Sheishtam Sof, he never came up. So that's testimony. We can't clarify if it's true. But Gerushin, Ika Levur, with Gerushin, we could check it and say, Rinalahim, Ika, the Hachiyavi, if you're really divorced, Achzilam Gite. You just got divorced, show what you get. Right, and that's why they won't allow her to marry. And if she does marry, she takes it. Good. Tana Rabbanan, Shlaim Ramin Nitkadsha, or Shlaim Ramin Lo Nitkadsha. Now we have a twist on this. Two witnesses come and say Nitkadsha, and two witnesses come and say Lo Nitkadsha. Now, Lo Nitkadsha, by the way, is a very difficult testimony. It's just saying that we didn't see Kedushin. But two people say they did. Harezu Lo Tinase. She cannot marry another man. And Nisei Lo Tetse. But if she does marry another man, Lo Tetse. Shnarim Nitgarsha, Shnarim Lo Nitgarsha. Again, two versus two about Gerushin. Harezu Lo Tinase, Nisei Tetse. Again, the same ruling that we've seen in Rabbi Yochanan, or Nachum Rabbi Yossi, is that she should not marry, and if she does, she must divorce. Again, why do we distinguish between Kiddushin and Gerushin? So Abaya is going to take the same approach. He says the case here is not two versus two. That's just a borrowed term. It's really one versus one. And he really has an elegant solution. If one witness comes and says Nikadsha and one says Lo Nikadsha, they're both testifying that at some point in the proceeding she was an unmarried woman. The one who says Nikadsha is now contradicting the testimony that both of them have. And Rav Shalach Makom Shnayim, again, the one witness who says she's a married woman can contradict the two, meaning himself and the other guy who testify that up until that moment she was unmarried. Seifa and the Seifa, that was easy. This is exactly what Abaye said before. The one who says Nikarsha, the one who says Lo Nikarsha, are both testifying that she was an Eshet Ish. The one who says she was divorced is one. That's Abaye. Ashi Amar, Le'olam Treo Trei, just like Rava did earlier, Rava Ashi says we've got to stick with the notion that really two and two, because that's what the ruling says, two versus two. But he does something else, it's Ve'epuch. I'm going to switch the rulings around, so it's in the case of Kiddushin, that if we have two versus two, Tetzei, in the case of Gerushin, Lo Tetzei. Shamarim Reinu Ashin Kansha, Shamarim Lo Reinu Ashinit Kansha. Two say we saw her get married, and two the other two say we didn't. If she marries, she has to leave because of the assumption that she really is married to somebody else. Pshita, that's obvious. Lo reinu, ain't a raya. Obviously, somebody saying we didn't see it doesn't prove anything. So the two who say we saw Kiddushin should be a slam dunk. So the answer is Lo tzricha d'dari b'chatzer achad. We're talking about a case where the two witnesses who say Lo reinu, I'll live in the same chatzer as she does, same courtyard. I might think that if she really did get Kiddushin, they would have heard about it. So them coming and saying we don't know about it isn't just ignorance, it's actually an affirmative testimony to the fact that we live right there. We didn't hear anything about a wedding. Hamash Valan, so teaches us to have the ancient of Makachi Bitsina. Sometimes people do Kiddushin privately. We're not talking about a wedding, we're talking about Kiddushin. And sometimes people do Kiddushin privately, and therefore these two guys living in the Chatzer may be ignorant of it. So Seifa, Rav Ashi then continues. Two say we saw a divorce, and two say we didn't see it. Right? He's inverted the ruling. And if she does marry based on that, Lotetse. My Kamashma, what's it proving? Because after all, the two guys who said she got divorced were accepting, and the other two guys were saying they just didn't see it. So she is divorced. So obviously it must be a case where the two guys who say we didn't see her get divorced live in the same chatzer, but that's the same as the first case. You could argue that kiddushin people will do privately. But lagabe gerushin, you might argue that if she really got divorced, kola ila la milta, there is a void, there's a sound, in other words, everybody knows about it. Gerushin are always done publicly. But the reality is that sometimes people do Kiddushin privately, and sometimes people do Gerushin quietly, in front of just two witnesses, and it could be that people living in the same courtyard don't know that the Gerushin happened. Yeah, eventually they'll figure it out, but they not only did not see the Gerushin, they may not even be aware of it. And that is what the Mishnah is teaching us, and so we have clarified, and you see that Abaye has taken the same tack to explaining the difference between either Mita and Gerushin or Kiddushin and Gerushin, which is to interpret all of the statements as being really about Eid Echad, and to combine the two Eidim together for one piece of the testimony, and then it's Ein Zvar Shalach Makom Shnayim, and Rava in one case, and Ravashi in the second case, interpreted it as two versus two, and gave a different explanation to the difference between, in Rava's case, Mita and Gerushin, and Ravashi's case, Kiddushin and Gerushin. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and Amir Sashem, the next podcast, which will be up a little later today or by tonight, which will be beginning on the Mishnah and in the piece on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It will continue to Daf Chav Dalet. I wish you have a wonderful day.